And just summing it up, very dynamic, very well received in terms of the civil society's perspective by the five leaders who were on the head table. The feedback from them was almost like it was mirroring what each one of us had said. And I guess one thing that stood out was how they embrace civil society to the extent that they want to engage all the 16 member countries in the next dialogue instead of having just five, the troika, and plus two on the table like this morning. So that message came out strongly about embracing the key issues, but also the role of civil society.
The civil society groups had a long list of suggestions that you were putting to the leaders. Which caught their interest the most?
We prepared, as the six of us, we took a lead, not in terms of the issues, but just in terms of having a good lead, a good finish, but then taper that with the other issues in the middle in terms of our speakers. I think, to be fair, all the issues were heard. Some of the issues had been on the agenda last year, like the issues of West Papua, like the issue of climate change, people with disability, and then issues of fisheries and our oceanic reefs, the issue of the youth, and then sport as perhaps a new issue coming on board. The feedback from them as they individually relayed their feedback, which took much longer than we had been given in terms of breaking down all the issues. So they related to all the six issues very clearly and on how they stood as a leader of their own country.
That issue you mention about the Indonesian provinces in West Papua is a tricky one, particularly as the NGO delegation had upgraded their requests, suggesting that the leaders consider working with the United Nations to get West Papua inscribed on the UN decolonisation list. What sort of reaction did you get from that?
Yes. Totally embraced in terms of the leaders responding individually, and when the final incoming chair for next year, the Honourable Prime Minister for Samoa, summed it up, that this issue had been somewhat discussed around the agenda last year. Now it's definitely on the agenda, and the engagement of perhaps the intervention of the United Nations is definitely a critical issue as we head to New York.
Papua New Guinea's Prime Minister Peter O'Neill has always been very against bringing in issues of self-determination, wanting to stick just to the human rights problems in West Papua. What did he have to say on that?
The Prime Minister wasn't here, but there was the Minister of Foreign Affairs, and I think he was clear in terms of identifying that human rights and the issue of self-determination. There are processes. There are very clear processes that they need to address those in that framework with the UN. So he was very clear on that, but also clearly responding that that is definitely an issue that goes with the sovereignty matter as well.
Civil society groups have been for some time trying to get a wider meeting with all of the leaders of the Pacific Forum. What did the leaders that you spoke to today at the breakfast have to say about that?
Fantastic and a very positive response in terms of the incoming chair, the Honourable Prime Minister of Samoa, declaring that now the push is, they've heard it as five, as Troika plus two this morning. It's vital and it's important that all 16 member countries must hear in person the voice and the issues expressed by civil society. So we can expect that in Samoa. That was repeated this morning from the incoming chair in terms of their feedback. That has to be heard, and it has to be heard in person with all 16 forum leaders as opposed to Troika plus two.
So how much of a breakthrough do you think this meeting was?
Oh, I think it's a massive breakthrough, knocking down some doors and walls. I think the partnership, the relationship is very, very positive, and perhaps a new platform, a new avenue for civil society to build on that relationship with our forum leaders.